The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garum Perro columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. Today we're catching up with Michael Gumbly. Michael is Managing Director and CEO of the recently IPO'd Magado Gold. Magado raised $6 million in a flash in the IPO and is due to list soon on the ASX under the code MEG. It comes to the market with a portfolio of gold exploration projects in Ethiopia. Now, we all know gold has been produced in Ethiopia since ancient times. And in response to encouragement from the government, a modern-day gold industry is fast taking shape. The Canadian market is onto the potential and has a number of companies active in the country, one of the most stable in Africa. That makes Magado somewhat unique in the Australian context. So it'll be interesting to hear from Michael about the company's projects and plans. Now, with that, I'm going to say g'day to Mike and welcome him to the podcast. Hi there, and thanks for your time today.
G'day, Barry. Thank you so much. Thanks for your time.
Great. Now, before jumping into the Magado story, it'd be great if we could get a bit of a rundown on your background leading up to Magado and perhaps a mention of the one or two of the technical team you've assembled for the Ethiopian gold push.
Sure. Well, Barry, this is my first foray into gold and mining in general. My background, I'm from Sydney, but left Australia many moons ago to the chagrin of my mother, and studied at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and did a master's at the Sorbonne in Paris, and really set myself up for an international career. But the focus was always a nonprofit. So for almost 20 years, I have been working and living in countries across Africa and Asia, implementing large-scale and small-scale agriculture, water projects, and the like, you know, amassing about $500 million US deployed during that time. And it was really only in the last year, 18 months ago, where one of my oldest mates was talking to me about Ethiopia and what I knew about Ethiopia. I was telling him how much I love the place, to go there all the time. And, you know, from that kind of early conversation, we then founded this small company together to put together a portfolio of premium land in southern and western Ethiopia to really both take advantage of that opportunity, but at the same time, be able to kind of lean on the experience I've had over these last 20 years to be able to make an impactful investment in the country.
Okay. And what do you mean by impactful investment in the country?
There's, in our view, it's impossible for us to be successful in Ethiopia and probably most projects in Africa without there being investment in the communities where we're working, such that our success breeds success for them and helps them be able to have jobs, some of them for the first time. There are a couple of people on our staff where this is their very first job. It helps bring jobs into these communities that have never really had the type of investment which we are planning to make. It gives opportunities to invest in basic infrastructure such as water projects to help with schools and the like. And so small amounts of money, which we would be doing anyway, are really, really make an impact on the lives of people who, for, as I said, for the first time, will really see and witness and experience the type of investment which we'll be making. And I think it will have, you know, a really long-lasting impact on their lives. And it's kind of why it's looking at, it's just taking a different view of what I've done in the past in order to help that type of development advance.
Mm. And taking that approach where you're, you know, focusing on the ESG, which has become all important in the mining world nowadays, the environment, social and governance, do you see that as being a good business practice apart from anything else?
I think it's fundamental to the success of the company.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way in the Ethiopian context that we could go in there unilaterally and dictate what we expect to accomplish without taking into consideration the needs of the community. Ethiopia is one of the only countries, there are only two in Africa that were not colonized, and it's for a reason. It's a proud people. They're very respectful of their land and their history, and they, for us again to be successful, it's imperative that we take a stance that it's not just a like something that has to happen. The ESG side is something that has to happen. I firmly believe that we will not be successful without making it an integral part of our business strategy.
Okay. It's a refreshing attitude. We don't normally get that from companies that are listing on the ASX. It's all about getting in there and drilling away and worrying about the ESG issues at a later date. So to put them up front is, as I said, refreshing. Now, on the technical side of things, who do you have with you to I take it you've got some technical guys who've selected the properties and will be overseeing the programs?
Right. Mercifully, that's not my domain. So we have who I have to believe is the only Australian who lived and worked in Ethiopia and founded discovered a 1.5 million ounce deposit. His name is Dr. Chris Bowden. He's from Queensland, has spent most of his career offshore. And 2009 to 2014, he lived and worked in Ethiopia. He had a virgin discovery called Dish Mountain, what he did there was he started with spectral analysis. He went to the Geological Survey of Ethiopia. He assembled a team that did the ground truthing, everything from scratch,
right.
and to then found a 1.5 million ounce discovery, and he again is leading this charge, and you know, very fortunately for us, it's not only Chris who has jumped on this opportunity. He's been able to bring back all the guys he worked with, the Ethiopian team, from, you know, 6-7 years ago. So those guys are incredibly professional, have masters and PhDs themselves. They have been instrumental in really identifying some of the land which we have, and they are working for us now. They're on the ground on a daily basis doing the ground truthing as we're coming from the spectral analysis, and those are the guys who are executing currently.
Right. So Chris with Dish Mountain, I think it started out at 1.5 million ounces, is probably growing. So that's probably one of half a dozen or so of quite large gold discoveries made in Ethiopia in recent times. The land position that you've assembled there, I think the prospectus said it was about more than 500 square kilometres. I take it that is probably, a long strike to these discoveries or in the same geological settings?
Yes. So we have about 511 kilometres, which is granted, and mm-hmm. we have another 200 in application. And the majority of that is in the Adola Belt, and two kind of the flagship projects right now are to the north and south of the Legendembe and Sakara mines. And those are important because they produce some 3 million ounces of gold over a 20-year period. And our projects, Bibicho to the north and Chakata itself is only 5 kilometers to the south of Sakara along strike. And what Chris has done again was he started with the satellite analysis. He sent the team down to ground truth it. Importantly, the Geological Survey of Ethiopia is, you know, it's a, for listeners, it's hard to describe, but it's just this massive library, paper, pretty poorly cataloged. And Chris's team, our team, went in there and found, like went through, ruffled through all the paper and found that some significant exploration took place on both these tenements in the late 90s, you know, to the tune of, you know, several million dollars. And what they uncovered there was that the work and some, you know, pretty compelling numbers actually coincided with the spectral analysis. So we have these two independent data sets which are really kind of pinpointing where we'll be working. It is a long strike, as you pointed out, from the really the only major producing gold mine in Ethiopia's history, certainly modern history. And what it's allowed us to do is really to be able to accelerate the work to the point where we believe we'll be drilling really in the next couple of weeks. We have the contract signed. We have dozers on the ground right now preparing the drill pads. And so long as the drilling company gets the drills down there, I think we'll be there before the end of the month.
Right. Okay. And just to check in on the ASX process, have you had an indication of when the listing might occur?
It's indicated for 26th of October.
Right. So you'll be essentially drilling as you list, or
that's the plan. I mean, it's an ambitious plan, but we're pretty confident we're going to be able to pull it off. There's, as I said, that the dozers are there preparing the drill pads today over the last couple of days. The contractor, the drilling contractor, is raring to go. Has drills in country. It's really just a question of them deploying it there and getting it going.
Now, I understand you're based in Brooklyn, New York.
I am.
Will you be heading over to Ethiopia to the inaugural drilling program, as it were?
I had been going there, you know, every couple of weeks last year in kind of putting together the land portfolio, working with the ministry and building the team. I hope to be there for that. It's a little tricky with coronavirus. Ethiopia has actually fared fairly well compared to where I find myself right now, and you know, a lot of people don't want us because they're coming from Brooklyn. They don't want us over there. So it's a possibility, but I'm not 100% sure I'm able to pull it off. We will have the team. We will have a number of the team there, and we do have an Australian geologist on the ground right now.
Okay. Now, you mentioned there that the Mines Ministry hasn't really caught up with the digital age just yet, but I understand that Ethiopia has set out a few years ago to encourage a mining industry in the country.
Ethiopia is really at an exciting inflection point in its history, and I say that because in 2018, Prime Minister Abiy was gained power, and he has turned what used to be a fairly closed economy on its head. And I say that in the sense that Ethiopia has been doing great. It's been the fastest growing economy in Africa at over 8% a year for a decade. It has the biggest airline in Africa on Ethiopian Airlines. Mm-hmm. It has a strong coffee industry. Agriculture is strong. But Prime Minister Abiy realizes that this isn't enough. And so unlike some other jurisdictions in Africa, there's actually investment going back into the infrastructure of the country. There's the biggest hydroelectric dam on the continent. The Grand Renaissance Dam is cost more than $4.5 billion to build, the $3 billion train line from Addis to Djibouti. There's also been a push by the government to open up formerly closed industries, like telecoms is being opened up for the first time, finance is being opened up to the diaspora. And importantly for us, the government is really pushing mining as well, because they know that they have incredible resources that, as you said at the very, very beginning of the podcast, they've been mining there for millennia, but there's been gold there. The Queen of Sheba had gold there, but they haven't really been able to apply modern techniques in order to be able to extract that wealth. And so they have a dual language mining proclamation. They have a reasonable free carry rates at 5%. The royalties. Mm-hmm. 5%. You know, they've geared themselves to kind of attract companies like us to come in there and assist, essentially finding out what they have, because they know it's there, but currently hasn't been the capacity, particularly from a financial side, and there hasn't been companies like us to come in there and really do that greenfields exploration. Mm. So it's a really exciting time, both in the history of Ethiopia, but also for companies like us, because they really want us there.
Mm. I was going to ask, I mentioned the Canadians are active in the country. Are you aware of other Australian companies active in the mining scene there?
No. There's a smaller mining association of foreign companies, and in that there's KEFI, which is listed on is an Australian who is the CEO, Harry Adams, but they're listed on AIM. There are a couple of Canadian companies, there's Sunpeak and Altus, and there's a Norwegian company, but there aren't any other companies like us, at least to my knowledge, certainly not in the mining association.
Yeah. Which goes to my earlier statement, Magado's is unique in the Australian mining context. So giving investors here the opportunity to have exposure to what's an ancient gold production history, but at the same time in the modern era emerging as probably the next frontier in African mineral exploration. So exciting times.
Well, we certainly hope so. That is, that's the plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Well, Michael, thanks for that rundown on the company and Ethiopia itself. Interesting stuff. All the best with it. And we'll be watching with eagle eyes the upcoming drilling program, and wish you all the best with that. So thanks for your time today.
Thank you. It was an absolute pleasure. I really enjoyed it for my very first podcast. Thank you very much, Barry.
Good on you.